Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, June 18th, 2016. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Political activists say they will continue to put pressure on the central bank so that it can abandon proposed bond notes.
We're going to encourage and make sure that people reject these bond notes, because if we do not use them and if the market rejects them, then they're going to become obsolete.
And young Zimbabweans taking part in the Mandela Washington Fellowship this year have arrived in the United States. Political activists say they will continue to put pressure on Central Bank Governor John Manguja in order to force him to abandon proposed bond notes set to be introduced next month in Zimbabwe. The activists, who held a meeting with Mr. Manguja on Wednesday and Thursday to express their dismay over the bond notes, say they will intensify their public protests to ensure that their voices are heard. One of the activists, Maureen Katemaunga, who is also a PhD candidate at the University of Pretoria, tells Studio 7 they are doing all this to promote democracy in Zimbabwe.
As young people, we're going to actively campaign and actively, agitate and organize. Young people working in the informal sector, our own parents who are like doing cross-border activities and stuff like that, we're going to encourage and, make sure that people reject these bond notes, because if we do not use them and if the market rejects them, then they're going to become obsolete. So it's going to have to be a waste of money printing all those bond notes, because as soon as the market rejects them, they become obsolete. And we are really hoping that governments this time will show clearly these policymakers and these policy implementers that when we make recommendations and when we try to reach out to them, they must also listen, because at the end of the day, to just bring expenses on the government. They print these bonds, not nobody going to use them, they become obsolete, and they will have to have a plan B. So we asked them if they had a plan B, because this is what is going to happen. And again, we said that there was no plan B for the RRBs, and we think that if people effectively reject these bond notes.
Do you think people are going to reject the bond notes? But maybe people are not keen to take to the streets, right?
Yes, people will not take to the streets. They will just simply not use the money. This is why you said that, you said that they introduce them, gradually into the system, and they're just not going to come one morning and then there's bond notes everywhere. So this gradual introduction also, you say that it's not something that will happen overnight. And we know that if markets, like people and businesses, do not use them, naturally, they will just then become the useless paper. And it goes beyond just the bond note. An issue of the public not trusting the system. This is the same reason why we have a cash crisis now. It's because they don't trust this government to be able to provide a solution. And already, as you can see, there's so many campaigns happening right now for various reasons. One of those reasons being bond note. With the bond note, people don't really need to go onto the streets every day and protest. No. And we know that a lot of people, the numbers have been betraying us in terms of going into the streets. And people are just so very afraid of, the victimization that comes with that. People are just withdrawing their money and keeping it at home now. The black market will emerge and the informal market will start to bloom. And then I think the formal businesses are the ones that are going to suffer. And when they see that, they're also going to start to reject the bond notes. I think it's just going to be really an unorganized but a very effective form of resistance to these bond notes.
That was Maureen Katemaunga, a political activist, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. The nearly 60 young Zimbabweans taking part in the Mandela Washington Fellowship this year arrived in the United States yesterday to learn business and leadership under the esteemed program. The six-week learning fellowship starts right away. We spoke to one of them, Nyasha Marakurwa, as he was leaving Harare.
I'm honored, and I think it's a great privilege that I'll be going there with other young African leaders. Tell us more about what you do.
Well, I'm primarily a tennis player, but I've been injured the past couple of years, so I haven't been playing. So I started coaching, and I've also started a foundation in my name. So it's called the NM Foundation, where we try and advance the people with disabilities in Zimbabwe.
What are the, you know, challenges that you'd say people with disabilities are facing in Zimbabwe?
Well, the main challenge is because the economy is down, there's really no opportunities for people with disabilities to get jobs. And as you know, we are a minority people already, so the little that exists is makes it even difficult for us to fend for ourselves. That you notice that a lot of disabilities are now in the streets and are selling airtime and doing other vending activities, which is really not the ideal situation, but it seems it's the only thing that most of us can do because of the hardship that is facing them.
How do you hope to benefit from this fellowship?
Well, I think I'll primarily benefit in terms of to get the necessary leadership skills and training, as well as through meeting other individuals and organizations in this field, I hope to learn from them so that when I come back, I'll be able to implement the programs that we set out as a foundation.
Mandela Washington Fellow Nyasha Marakurwa speaking with reporter Ntunga Melikomo. Ntunga Melikomo also spoke to another fellow, Collins Nyamazao.
I am so much looking forward to it. When I was told that I've been selected, it was a monumental moment. I am so ecstatic and raring to go.
You are into recycling. Tell us more about what you do.
So our recycling initiative is not like the status quo, whereby you have people just getting plastic and then recycling it and selling it as pellets. But we are looking into ways on how best we can do product development so that we can up the value of the products that we will be making. So if you're selling it as pellets, they're going to be a dollar or something like that. But if you make it into a reusable product, like a desk or like a tape or something else, like a bucket or something, you can sell it for more using the same resource that you could have sold for a dollar. So it's cool. It's a process of value addition that makes us so unique as a recycling company. The reason why we had to actually innovate in our way of doing business, because the general way of doing business is not really that paying, of collecting waste from the dump sites, because we do not have a functional system that sorts waste at source. So you have people in the communities, and the most waste generators are communities, and they have their waste coming in as a mixture and not separated, and therefore it's not really much of a viable business.
That was Mandela Washington Fellow Collins Nyamazao speaking with Studio 7's Ntunga Melikomo. Please note that we will give you your usual show, Girls, Youth and Development, next week. So stay tuned. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, you can find us at www.voazimbabwe.com.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In May, backed by U.S.-led coalition airstrikes, Iraqi security forces, including the largely Shiite, Iranian-supported popular mobilization forces, started to advance on Fallujah to free the city from ISIL occupation. Recently, the Iraqi government announced it detained a number of fighters during an investigation into possible human rights abuses against civilians fleeing the city. Rights monitors, including the UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zayd Raad al-Hussein, said there have been credible reports of abuse of Iraqi Sunni men and boys, including torture and execution, as they escaped from Fallujah. Mr. Zayd called on the Iraqi government to show its commitment to protecting civilians by fully investigating reports that people who have suffered 2.5 years of living hell under ISIL and have faced enormous difficulties and dangers getting out of Fallujah alive are now facing double jeopardy in the form of serious human rights violations after they have escaped. Those allegedly responsible for these violations must be brought to justice. State Department Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner said the United States is very concerned about reports that civilians in Fallujah and in the surrounding area have been subjected to torture, abuse, and in some cases, even murder.
Prime Minister Abadi, though, has clearly laid out instructions to Iraqi forces, and that includes the PMF, the Popular Mobilization Forces, to protect civilians and respect humanitarian rights. And we support that message. We support that approach.
Mr. Toner noted that some PMF leaders have also now publicly committed themselves to protecting civilians and to holding abusers accountable. In addition, he pointed to the positive development of the Abadi government announcing the investigation into the abuses and arresting possible perpetrators. As to the broader issue of a solution to sectarian tensions in Iraq, Deputy Spokesperson Toner said that ultimately it is for Iraq's political leadership to make the kinds of decisions that bring the country together and don't promote sectarianism. We continue to support the government and certainly Prime Minister Abadi's efforts in that direction.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Nhlanganya Huye. Tonight, we're gladly joined by Sandra Chingasie Ninduna, a Zimbabwean who is based in Hollywood, California, and is the founder of Zimbabwe Child Inc., an organization working with underprivileged schools in Mashonaland West. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Sandra. Tell us about your organization. What is it all about?
The name of my organization is Zimbabwean Child. I live in California, in Los Angeles. Our mission is to support schools in Zimbabwe with educational materials, and we're starting in the Kwekwe district. And the hope is we're going to go throughout the entire country.
You recently visited Zimbabwe, and you say you were able to visit 11 schools. Tell us a little bit about that.
I worked with the Ministry of Education in the Kwekwe district, so I'm thankful that we were able to partner, and they provided me with a representative from the Ministry of Education. And in addition to that, they gave us a driver who was familiar with the place, and we're able to go and visit the schools and visit each school, see what's on the ground. I really just wanted to see what's on the ground. You know, you hear so many stories about what's going on at home, but you never actually get to see it. And I wanted to see it for myself so I could be more informed when I come back to the United States. It was heartbreaking. I felt overwhelmed oftentimes because the state of the schools are just really bad, really, really bad. A lot of the classrooms are like shacks or makeshift structures that are made up of like aluminum tins or sometimes just, you know, thatch and grass. And a lot of the classrooms are not roofed at all, you know, and there's no water at a lot of the schools. And the kids, it's just so bad. They have no books. The teachers are struggling. Sometimes the teachers have no housing and they have to walk like 15 kilometers to school. So it's a really dire situation. And it was very overwhelming, I must say.
So now what is the way forward now that you've gone there, you've scouted, you've seen what they need? What do you hope to do?
At the moment, I have my play. It's called The Child of Promise. And the play, it focuses on children in Zimbabwe that we showcase what they go through. And so this play is supposed to be a tool that I have in my hands to fundraise for the school. In addition to that, I'm talking to a few people at my work in Hollywood and people that are willing to support me and willing to support some of the schools. And I'm going to go back at the end of the year. And I'm going to support three schools, Kotamai, Edzai, Mpumalanga, and another one, Tagwire. So my goal is to go with educational material. I'm going to buy books like Ventures that are part of the curriculum. In addition to that, I have a warehouse in Los Angeles that supplies me with books, but I just need to find someone who can sponsor me with like shipping a container to them. And that should be enough for all those three schools, in addition to the books that I'm going to take. And then hopefully when the books in the container get delivered, I'll also be showing up with money to purchase the Ventures books, the writing books. I'm also looking for companies that can partner with me in terms of building, you know, finishing off the structures that have been put in place. and also building new classrooms for the kids. But in addition to that, you know, I'm also looking for companies that want to put wells at the schools, because a lot of the schools don't have water, and that's really important. So I'm just trying to do so much at the same time. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to achieve so much by the end of the year.
And some may ask, who are you? You're speaking about Hollywood, Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I came here 12 years ago, and I did my undergraduate degree in television, film. And then after that, I did my master's in film and television as well. And I work at the Clark Productions in the international distribution department. So I work in Hollywood. Our shows include the Golden Globes, Billboard Music Awards, So You Think You Can Dance. We do a lot of live events. And my job currently is to get those shows around the world. So our shows are seen in almost every country on earth, and I'm responsible for taking them there. Including, you know, the most exciting part is when I send stuff to Mnet, they see our shows in Africa, and I'm part of the reason they get there. I'm part of the team that gets it out there.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Sandra Chingasieni Nduna, a Zimbabwean based in Hollywood, California, and who's also the founder of Zimbabwe Child Inc., an organization working with underprivileged schools in Mashonaland West. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous. For now, we will hand you over for a few minutes to Chiwaniso Chani in the youth show Time to Engage.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chioneso Johnny, your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today, we have the reigning Miss America Zim, Andile Mpofu, who is with us again. And we have a great guy, Takuro Tella. Hi, guys.
Hey, Chioneso. Thank you so much for having us.
Hey, thanks so much for having us.
We gathered because of a very interesting topic that was going on last week, and it had to do with beauty and brains. And we've got a lot of responses, but some of the people were calling me and telling me, I think physically it's so important how a girl looks. As much as Andile, we agree with you that inner beauty is good, but we think that there's more to inner beauty. Takuro, you are the guy. What do guys look for in a girl?
As a guy, you're looking at, okay, is the girl beautiful? Because, you know, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. But at the same time, you're supposed to see something. First attractions are equally important.
Mm-hmm. I think the mistake that I said is, what do guys look? Okay, let me ask you. Let us take it personal. What do you, as a guy, when you look at a girl, what is the wow factor?
Yeah, that's a tricky situation. You gotta have me that right.
What's so tricky about looking at a girl and saying, I like this girl? I mean, have you never asked a girl out before?
Well, I have.
And so, what did you look at?
First of all, you can't see the brains, right? The brain is right there in the head, and you can't see the heart. So the first thing that you see is their presentation, you know, the facial features, you know, the way they dress and stuff like that, the way they smile. I'm a visual person. You have to see something, and then from there now, you know, that's where you get to the roots. But the way that she presents herself, it really matters.
Andile, imagine if you were not beautiful. The judges would have chosen you.
Here's what I am saying about when I'm talking about inner beauty, you know, it stands from within. I do understand that we have to be visual. Girl, I too am visual.
Did you say you're visual? So you look at the guy's biceps and triceps?
What I am saying is, at the end of the day, we all get visual. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be, you know, attracted to a guy who is super clumsy but has a good brain.
First of all, it's all about, you know, confidence, like, you know, the way that you wear yourself. That, you know, that comes into play. And then the way that you carry yourself. Because guys, you can see if this girl is confident. She might be pretty in the face, but if she's not confident, she becomes a prey. And like for me, I don't want to look for praise. I'm looking for a woman who can challenge me mentally and also who I'm be proud of to show to the world. It's all about the ego. Men have to feed their egos.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Takuro and Andile.
Thank you so much.
And I am Chioneso Johnny, your host for Time to Engage.
Thanks very much, Chioneso Johnny. Now to recap today's top stories. Political activists say they will continue to put pressure on the central bank so that it can abandon proposed bond notes. And young Zimbabweans taking part in the Mandela Washington Fellowship this year have arrived in the United States. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.